Should ex-Jehovah's Witnesses be baptized again? This is the JW Review. This is a really common question and a really good one that is asked of Jehovah's Witnesses who leave the organization for any number of reasons, and they find their relationship with Jesus Christ, and they just want to know, should I be baptized again? Because they were baptized by immersion, and they dedicated themselves to Jehovah, so should they be rebaptized? Well, a listener named Benjamin asks the following. Hello, I had a question about baptism. I am currently a JW, but have been slowly and quietly trying to leave and have been learning the true gospel. That's important here. My question is, witnesses are asked two questions before they are baptized. One, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to Jehovah to do His will? Two, do you understand that your dedication and baptism identify you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with God's Spirit-directed organization? So basically, in your opinion, do I need to get baptized again since in reality I dedicated myself to the governing body? This is really a great point, and I can completely understand why a Jehovah's Witness who's currently in the organization, or even one who is completely left the organization or been disfellowshipped, would ask a question like this. This is a real struggle. Because oftentimes, too, if you're going to get baptized outside of Jehovah's Witnesses, that is often in the context of another church. And if you're going to do that within the context of another church, well, most churches actually require you to be a member of that church. And I can understand from a Jehovah's Witness perspective why there might even be some hesitation there, because you're wanting to leave this concept of organization and not just to go join another organization. And that in and of itself is another question for another time, but it's very much entwined into the thinking process here. So these two questions that Jehovah's Witnesses will be asked when they're baptized, if you want to kind of find this online to see where this actually comes from, I have it here on the screen. It's the 2006 Watchtower on April 1st on page 25, and has here these two questions. So the first question I think is completely valid to ask someone with regards to baptism. Yeah, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to God to do His will? That's an extremely important question. The second question I think is where the real rub is. Because what you're really doing there is you're being asked a question that the Bible doesn't actually address. Because if you read through all of the instances of baptism, in especially the Christian scriptures, there are some mentions of it kind of maybe vaguely or indirectly in the Hebrew scriptures, but it's kind of a different concept altogether in the Christian scriptures. And that's related to baptizing yourself in association with Jehovah's Witnesses specifically. This is not in association with Jesus Christ, or even necessarily in association with Jehovah or anything like that. So what I have pulled up here on my screen is every instance of the word baptism or baptize in the Christian scriptures, and we have here 29 mentions of that. And if you read through all of these, and I'm not going to do it right here, but if you look through all of these instances, there is nothing in here about being baptized in association with a particular organization. All the the baptism references are really in relation to what you do, which is to repent. And you're really making a public profession of your faith, which especially in the first century would mean persecution or really even death. It was a very serious thing. And of course, if you were Jewish, that could mean your family is going to disown you, they're going to shun you, all kinds of consequences. So baptism was a very serious thing. And you can imagine too, if you were to get baptized in, let's say, a majority Muslim country, what that could actually mean for you when you get baptized and you're publicly professing your faith in that kind of way. It's a really serious thing. So I would encourage you to go through the Christian scriptures and look for yourself with regards to baptism and ask yourself, were Christians in the first century baptized into an organization? Is there anything like that? And I think you'll find that there is not. So the second question here really is not scriptural at all. So let's get back to the question from the listener here. So this part is where the real hesitation is, I think, about getting baptized again, because originally you were ultimately baptizing yourself into an organization, which is ultimately dedicating yourself to the teachings of the governing body, because you're required to believe anything that the governing body teaches. And let me highlight this a little more clearly. So this is from the Reasoning Book on page 280 with the definition of organization. It says, the definition of organization is an association or society of persons whose efforts are coordinated for a particular work or purpose. Members of an, well, but let me stop there. By the way, this actually couldn't be true of the first century church, because there really was not a universal coordination effort. All of the churches were autonomous. Now, they were under the authority of the apostles, but the apostles certainly were not micromanaging everything that each church would do. Each church was kind of doing their own thing, and they were basing what they did, yes, on Jesus and the teachings of the apostles, but not in a micromanaged kind of way. I've really addressed that more clearly and thoroughly in other videos. Members of an organization are united by administrative arrangements and by standards or requirements. So again, that's not something you could say of the first century, unless you're talking about, well, each congregation would have some or most or all of the letters of the apostles, as well as the gospels, and that's really what they followed. But they were not following very specific directives like the governing body is doing today. Nothing of the sort. Persons who are dedicated and baptized witnesses of Jehovah come into Jehovah's organization as a result of personal choice, not by birth nor by any compulsion. They have been drawn to his earthly organization because of its teachings and practices, and because they want to share in the work that it is doing. So you see here that the drawing in from baptism is not a drawing into Jesus Christ. It's a drawing into the organization, which is really being drawn into the teachings of the governing body and to do everything that the governing body says. So that's where the listener here is really getting this from, where he's emphasizing that in reality you're dedicating yourself to the governing body. So back to the question, should this person get rebaptized? So let me put this to you in a way that's more relatable to you if you're struggling with this. So in my opinion, if you just want to find out what I think, the answer is unequivocally yes, you should get rebaptized. Now that's if you are believing the true gospel. And But let's just take a step back so you can really relate to what I'm saying. Do you believe, if whether you're a Jehovah's Witness now, or you've left the witnesses, or whatever the case may be in your particular situation, do you believe that the governing body is teaching a message of salvation that can truly give you eternal life and peace with God through Jesus Christ? So think about that. Let me say that again. Do you believe that the governing body is currently now teaching a message of salvation that will give you eternal life or peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Well, I think my listener here would say no, the governing body is not teaching a message of salvation that can actually bring eternal life. And there could be a number of reasons for that. If you want to ask me why I think that the governing body is not teaching that specifically, well, think about the fact that the governing body teaches that most Christians, well, that is, most who are not of the anointed class, those who are of the other sheep class, they don't need to be born again to receive eternal life. That's not an actual requirement. They also teach that they do not need Jesus as their exclusive mediator. They also teach that the other sheep are not in the new covenant and don't actually have to be in the new covenant to receive eternal life. They also teach that the other sheep can just pass by the bread and the wine and just respectfully observe the Lord's Supper. So these and many other things show that the governing body is not teaching a message that can actually save you, because it's denying essential tenets of salvation, namely that you've got to be in the new covenant and you've got to be born again to have eternal life. So that's a false gospel. So if you're baptized with a message like that, that's not a result of believing a true message of eternal life. You're just believing a false message, a false gospel, and being baptized in association with that message. So if you've left that whole set of teachings and you have newly dedicated yourself to Jesus Christ, you believe that you are born again, that you're in the new covenant, that Jesus is your exclusive mediator, you believe all that, and you've got a relationship now with Jesus Christ, a real true relationship, your faith is in Him, and your salvation is not a result of good works, that you have received Jesus' righteousness, so now that you have the righteousness of Christ, if you believe all these things, that Jesus died and was buried and was raised again on the third day, physically and bodily, if you believe all these things, and I could just keep on going on with this, if you believe all these things, then you should absolutely be rebaptized. And I'm not saying you have to go to a particular church per se, but I would say that you need to do this in a public sort of way with people there. This is a real true public profession of your faith. Then yes, you do need to do that. And if you need to find out more specifics on that, how you can actually go about doing that, please feel free to send me a message and I will work with you on that. So hopefully this was clear in terms of answering this question. So if you're an ex-Jehovah's Witness who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, I would say, yes, you do need to get baptized. And I'm not saying that salvation only happens when you're baptized. That's not what I'm saying. But I will say, actually the Bible is saying, if you want to read through a lot of these examples about baptism, this is a requirement for Christians. This is a baptism of repentance, showing people that you have repented of your sins and you're publicly professing your faith and dedication to Jesus Christ. So it is a requirement for a Christian, just as good works are a requirement for a Christian. But just let me emphasize that baptism doesn't in and of itself actually save you or even contribute to your salvation, because it's a good work, and good works don't save you. It's your faith that actually saves you. So thank you, Benjamin, for this excellent question. And if anyone has any questions at all as it relates to Jehovah's Witnesses or maybe just Christian theology in general, because I know a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses who are in the process of leaving the organization, like this gentleman is, you know, you're trying to work out things theologically. So if you've got those kinds of questions, feel free to reach out, and I will do my best to address it on the JW Review. So thank you all for listening, and thank you for watching. And don't forget, if you're listening to this on iTunes, please give me a rating. That really helps draw people in to the podcast. Or on YouTube, give me a thumbs up. Or, you know, if you really hate this, feel free to give me a thumbs down. But maybe just do me the just the please honor me by telling me why you're giving me a thumbs down, and maybe leave a constructive comment, and I'll do my best to address it. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.